Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Okay, welcome back everyone. Before I get started, just a couple of things. I know we implemented a new payment process which converts USD into cryptocurrency, because we've considered high risk to the credit card processing companies. And we have just had a hell of a time trying to figure this out. The new system is not working very well. I want you all to know that we are painfully aware of this. We are working on alternative methods. We hope to have that integrated maybe even as early as today. And I'm recording and releasing this on the same day, which is April 15th, 2026. So we just so appreciate your patience with us on this. There are other ways to pay checking out that all of our customers are using, and they work extremely well. So don't be afraid to go to the website. Another exciting thing that I wanted to bring up is that, and I'm going to do an episode on this, so I'm not going to go into detail about this right now, but we have recently started doing sterility and heavy metal testing on all of our products. So far, our testing results are coming back perfectly clean, which does not surprise me because we strive to give the top tier quality of all these products that we possibly can. And so now our comprehensive testing will be purity, identity, potency as far as like net amounts, net content. So if you're getting 5 milligrams, you're getting 5 milligrams. Endotoxin, which we've been doing from the very beginning. And now we're doing this extra layer of heavy metal and sterility testing, which we believe is the kind of the future of where this research peptide world is going if you want to stay in the game and do things above board and to a level of excellence, which we are striving to do. So it's going to take some time to get all of these back for every single product. They will start rolling in over the next couple of months. They are batch specific, so be looking for those. We have probably about 15 or so products in testing phase right now. The first ones we did were our GLPs, so you will be able to find those already on the website. So we are just really excited that we are able to find a lab that can do all of these for us, and it can just give you the peace of mind that you are literally getting the cleanest product out there. Let's see what else. There was a couple other things. Our intranasal spray line should be coming out next week, which I'm really excited about as well. And so stay tuned for more information on that. And if you're on the email list, you will get an email as soon as that launches. And then the other thing I was going to say is regards to emails that y'all send. Most of the time, people are really, really nice, and I love that. But if you have something kind of nasty to say, I'm just going to encourage you to keep that to yourself. It's a waste of time to email me and a waste of energy, and I will not respond to it. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Majority of the emails that I do get, I love you guys. You're like, you are big supporters and encouraging and all the things, and I want to be encouraging back to all of you. But if you have something really ugly to say, then just, be mature and keep your comments to yourself. That's all I'm going to say on that. Okay, let's move on. Let's dive into today's episode. It's going to be short and sweet. I always say that and I always run long, but I am going to try to make this one short and sweet. And I'm timing this on purpose because we are going to be releasing Dihexa into the Peptique line today. So be looking for a promotion and an email on that. And that's what we're going to talk about today, Dihexa. And Dihexa is actually not a peptide. It's a small molecule compound. and it's derived from the angiotensin, four, and it's designed to be stable, be orally active, and actually get into the brain, which is important. It crosses that blood-brain barrier, and it's highly bioavailable in a capsule form. So these are Dihexa capsules. I think I've seen the injectable form of Dihexa on other research companies' website, but I have never tried that version. There's not a lot of good data, even anecdotally, out there on that version. And it's not something that we carry or plan to carry, just because I think the capsule forms are super safe. And I would be a little hesitant to try the injectable form of this without more information. So I'll just throw that out there. So for today's purposes, we're talking about an oral capsule. And Dihexa interacts with one of the most powerful growth pathways we have in the body. So today we're going to do a deep dive on this. We're going to talk about what it is, how it works, what the research actually shows specifically in what models, because we're really talking more animal models, like a lot of these things go, not a lot of human studies yet. What people are reporting anecdotally, dosing ranges that you see in the research space, and then kind of what my experience and my take is on this. So kind of let's dive in. So again, it's a synthetic molecule, and it's derived from this angiotensin 4, rather. And the angiotensin 4 itself is part of the renin angiotensin system. And it has effects in the brain related to memory and cognition. But here's the problem. That form of it is not very stable. It doesn't work well orally, and it doesn't penetrate the brain efficiently. So researchers modified it, and what they created was Dihexa. And this is where things shift, because now you have a compound that can survive digestion, circulate in the body, cross that blood-brain barrier, which I already mentioned, and act directly on brain tissue. And that alone separates it from a lot of the oral small molecules and peptides out there, okay? So let's talk about what it actually does. So Dihexa activates the hepatocyte growth factor, the HGF, which then activates the c-MET receptor. And this pathway is responsible for cell growth, tissue repair, and neural development. And why this matters in the brain is because this pathway controls synapse formation, which means the connections between neurons. And if you think about it, your brain isn't just about neurons existing, it's about how they connect. This is what makes Dihexa so special. And the research suggests that it appears to increase the dendritic spines, improve neuron-to-neuron communication, enhance long-term potentiation, and this is the biological basis of memory. So a simple way to explain this is it helps neurons fire better, and it helps neurons connect better. Okay, so those two combined is what makes it super interesting. So let's talk about some of the research that we have regarding Dihexa. So rats induced with cognitive impairment were given 2 milligrams per kilogram. And what the outcome was is improved maze navigation, improved object recognition, reversal of learning deficits, and the animals went from impaired back to normal functioning. So that's pretty significant. We're going to go through a couple of animal studies. I need to remind everyone, we can't just take an animal study and plop it into how it works in humans, but this is a good indication of what Dihexa can actually do. Okay. Another one focused on rodent brain tissue, particularly in the hippocampus. And the findings were that it increased dendritic spine density, enhance synaptic connections, so not just behavior, actual physical changes in the brain. And then there was a cell culture, an in vitro study that showed rapid synapse formation, strong activation of the HGA-MET, which is where we see extremely high synaptogenic activity compared to baseline compounds like BDNF, okay? So the key takeaway is the research really showed functional improvements, structural improvement, and cellular level activity. So it showed a lot of promise in regards to these things with the in vitro and the animal studies that we do have. But let's talk about what people anecdotally use Dihexa for, okay? So cognitive enhancement and maybe like a little bit of a mental upgrade. This is the most common reason why people use it. So what people report is faster thinking, improved clarity, better problem solving, connections between things forming quicker. A lot of people describe it as not stimulation, but better processing, memory and recall. Anecdotal reports include remembering things like names more easily, better retention of information, improved recall of conversations. You find this kind of popular among like entrepreneurs, high performers, people doing like really heavy cognitive work. Learning speed and skill acquisition. This is where it gets a little interesting. People use it when they are learning new material, building a skill, studying intensely. So people report faster pattern recognition, easier comprehension, information sticking better, kind of shortening the learning curve, if you will. People use it for brain fog and mental fatigue. They report feeling clearer, less mental sluggishness, improved focus without jitteriness, especially after things like stress, poor sleep, and burnout. Neurorecovery, which I think is a big one. This is a major anecdotal driver in this space. It's used for post-concussion symptoms, brain injury recover, long-term cognitive decline. People report gradual improvement in clarity, better mental stamina, feeling more like themselves again. Again, this is anecdotal, but important. I wish I would have known about this, you know, when back when my son was in high school, because he actually experienced several concussions playing lacrosse. And I would have loved to have been able to give him this at the time. So something to keep in mind. Also, people see improvements in verbal fluidity and communication. They report things like words become easier, less searching for what they want to say, smoother conversation. So this could be popular with public speakers, content creators, podcasters, things like that. Motivation and engagement. Some users report increased drive, more engagement in tasks, less procrastination, not like a stimulant, but more like the brain just wants to do things and focus, right? Mood support is kind of a secondary effect, but some people report a slight mood lift, an increased sense of well-being, less mental flatness, likely tied to improved neural signaling and not direct mood pathways. Some of the side effects, those are all the amazing things that people report that it can do. Some of the side effects are like head pressure and headaches. That's a pretty common one. Some people report overstimulation. So too many thoughts, mental noise, you know, things are just firing too much. Things like sleep disruption because you're activating the pathway, so getting the brain to maybe to calm down. So definitely would want to take this first thing in the morning. So that's kind of anecdotally what you see and the main side effects that you see. But let's talk about the dosing landscape here, because I mentioned earlier that in some of the research models, there was 2 milligrams per kilogram oral in rats. What the human research communities show are around 10 milligrams a day is a starting range. 20 milligrams tends to be where most people fall. And then the upper limits of that would be 40 milligrams a day. Here's the deal with this. It has an extremely long half-life, like 7 to 12 days. And the long duration of this half-life is tied to high lipophilicity. It crosses that blood-brain barrier easily. So, and it has this strong binding affinity to hepatocyte growth factors and that MEK pathway we talked about. So there's the potential for tissue retention, especially in the brain. So what that means functionally is that it can accumulate over time. So you don't need frequent dosing. Washout periods can be weeks, not days, and there's potential for prolonged neurological signaling changes even after stopping. So I don't know if this is one that you would take every day. I guess there's, if you're on the lower dose, I would say you could do somewhat of a loading phase and then go into a couple of times a week. This is not one that I think that you should take long-term and ongoing, okay? Because it's kind of having the brain communicate more efficiently. It's not like a drug that it's stimulating something or blocking something. It's actually telling the brain to work in a more efficient way. And that has long-term effects. So definitely something I think you want to cycle or use as needed. So if you know you have a stressful week coming up from work or you need to really focus in on things and things like that, this may be one that you want to use. if you've potentially had a poor night's sleep, you may want to use it just so your brain is functioning at a higher level. But I would definitely be careful about taking it long term, and particularly at the higher doses. And we'll round this out by me talking about my personal experience with this, because I had never taken Dihexa before, but I always like to be a guinea pig for y'all. And I get a little nervous about the nootropic peptides and small molecules, because we're talking about your brain, right? And everyone can have totally different experiences with it. Like, I love Celenc at night, but I'm not a huge fan of Cimaps, just because personally I didn't get anything out of it and it kind of gives me a little bit of a headache. Oxytocin, I think, is a good one to use as needed in brief stints. And so I have used all of those to varying degrees of success, some more than others. And so Dihexa was a new one for me. I don't really struggle with logging in and focusing. If anything, I have the opposite problem. I log in and I really focus and I have a hard time shutting it down. So this isn't something that I personally struggle with, but I can see the benefit of using it. So I tested it out. I started at the 10 milligram dose. I did not get much of an impact at that level. I'll tell you, I didn't really feel much at all. So I amped it up to the 20 milligrams, and that's where I kind of felt it kick in, which is interesting. This is where can be nuanced for everyone, because for me, it kind of quieted the noise in my brain. And so I was able to really like lock in and focus on individual tasks. And I'm one of these multitaskers that I jump back and forth to a lot of different things at one time. And I have to tell myself, okay, slow down. Let's finish this one task before we move on to the other. And I did feel like it helped me do that. And I feel like the benefit of that is even though I'm not taking it right at this exact moment, but, you know, I've started taking it a couple of days ago, but I'm, you know, like I said, you don't want to take it every day. I feel like it's still working that way in my system. So that is a testament to the fact that the half-life really is that long and it is sustaining, you know, as far as the benefits and effects you get from it. I did not experience a headache, but I did experience some trouble with sleep the last couple of nights. And I don't know if that's attributed to the Dihexa, because I kind of off and on struggle with sleep, or if it's something else, just because I have a lot of things going on right now. So I don't want to blame it specifically on the Dihexa. But overall, I think it's a great one if you struggle with some cognitive impairment, if you have focus issues, or you need just short-term, you need that ability to really lock in and focus on something, I think this would be a great one to try. So I'll leave it at that. And before we wrap up, just want to remind you, if you are a woman and you are into peptides, whether you have a ton of experience or you were just a beginner, a newbie, please go join the Women's Peptide Collective. That's a free group that I started. The link will be in the show notes. If you want a free peptide guide, we just updated it this year. So if you have an older version of it, you can discard that and email me. My email's in the show notes, and I will send you the updated version. And you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram. I keep promising y'all I'm going to be posting, and I literally have just not had the time. But, you know, I get censored and shadow banned anyway, so when I'm, like, lining up priorities, it tends to fall off my priority list right now, although I hope to do that really soon. And I think that's going to wrap this one up. I told you short and sweet. I haven't even edited it yet, and we're only at 20 minutes, so that's really good for me. If you have any questions, again, if you will be nice, I will respond to you. And so email me. If I don't respond, it just means it went into spam, which I don't check regularly, or I just missed it, because I get an influx of emails, and sometimes they just get missed. So email me again. I won't be annoyed or offended. I love getting your emails when you're nice. And share this episode. If you liked it, please go share it with someone that you think might find it interesting. Share the podcast. That helps me continue to grow this thing and to continue doing what I do. And like I always say, I love, love, love what I do. And I appreciate every single one of you for all your support and all the good things. So until next time, everyone, have a blessed day.